Acts. When you find your place there, the book of Acts, chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Again, I do apologize about the coughing and the hacking. And, you know, a cold is not that big of a deal except when you speak 3 and 4 times a week. It becomes more of a problem. And it started hitting me Sunday afternoon, and right as we got out of the care home, and throat just started tightening up and all that. And so you bear with me if you would. Would you stand, please, out of respect to God's Word? And we're going to look at verses 28 through 38. We'll preach on some of the other verses there. Verses 28 through 38 of Acts chapter 20. Just a simple message, first message of the year, and I hope it'll help. It's on building your life. Building your life. So we'll look at chapter 20, verses 28 through 38, as is our custom. Let's read responsively. I'll read the even-numbered verses. You read the odd-numbered verses with me through verse number 38. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And this is the verse that drives Jehovah's Witnesses nuts. To feed the church of who? God, which he hath purchased with his own what?
Blood.
Yeah, God shed his own blood on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 29, let's read it together. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Father, please, again, bless your word now to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Those of you that know your Bibles know that in Acts chapter 18, verses 19 through 21, Paul stops briefly at Ephesus. And then in chapter 19, verses 1 through 12, and reiterated here in verse 31 of our text, we learn that Paul spends 3 years in Ephesus. And he spends 3 years doing what we are still supposed to be doing. Reaching, preaching, and teaching. Let me say it again. Reaching, preaching, and teaching. That is our mission. Amen. We'll talk a little bit about that on Sunday as well. But obviously, he reached some folks because he calls for the pastors in the area of Mileta and Ephesus in chapter 17. And he takes some time and he shares his past ministry with them. You look at verse number 18 of chapter 20. He says, and when they were come to him, he say unto them, ye know that from the first day I came in into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. You know, the Apostle Paul, as the pastor's pastor, had been with these people. He'd been with them and ministered with them. It says in the next verse, it says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me in the lying in wait of the Jews. He said he had been with them and he had humbly served with them through difficulty. You know, ladies and gentlemen, when we're on the mountaintop, it's fine. But it doesn't really show who we really are. Amen? It's what we are in the valley with people. That shows what we really are. It's what we are when people are in valleys with them. And here the Apostle Paul says, I've been with you and I've served, humbly served in difficulty. And then verse 20, we just mentioning it, said, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. What a pastor's heart he had. And being a pastor myself, I can appreciate this statement. There are things that a pastor has to say that aren't very expedient. You say, what's that? It means that he looks at him, he thinks, well, this isn't going to help me very much, but it is going to help you. That, by the way, that's a real pastor. A real pastor steps on your toes. Amen. The kind of pastor that you would want tells you what you don't want to hear, but you need to hear. And by the way, usually I need to hear it before you hear it. And so I have to preach it to myself first and then preach it to you. And so I love that statement. But then he says, how I kept back nothing that was profitable in you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul says here that he had taught them publicly and privately the things that they needed to hear. Well, then verse 21 says, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel to all. So he talks about his past ministry. He shares his past ministry. But then he shares his pressing mission. Verse 22. He says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He was determined to go to Jerusalem despite difficulties and uncertainties. And he gives us that great verse in verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me. He said, I don't know what's coming, and I know probably prison's in my future, but he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Then he says something, he shares something that I find incredible, Brother Case. He shares his past ministry. He shares his pressing mission. But he shares his peace of mind in verse 26. It's one of the most incredible verses in the Bible. The Apostle Paul says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now I wish I could say that, Brother Horsch. I wish that I could say I'm pure from the blood of all men. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I can't say I've let people pass me by without handing them a gospel tract. I've been in the company of some where the Holy Spirit moved me to speak and I didn't. Amen? He says later on, and I think it's verse number 31, he says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so he shares his peace of mind. He shares his pressing mission. He shares his past ministry. And then he shares his parting message in verse 28, really through verse number 38. And his parting message was one of watchfulness. He says to these pastors, he's exhorting these men who, no doubt, Brother Jim, that many of them he had won to Christ himself. He shares with these men, he says, look, he said, feed the church of God. One of the greatest privileges as a pastor is to take this book and to dissect it, not in a bad way, but in a good way, and expound on the doctrines of the Word of God that you yourself would be fed and become strong Christians by what you hear. That if one day, and again, I'm not hinting at anything, or one day, let's say 15 years from now, God would call me away, and I'm not saying that He will, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, that you that were here would be strong, and you'd be able to recognize good teaching versus false teaching. Because what does He say in verse number 29? He says, listen, after my departing, grievous wolves are going to come in, not sparing the flock. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, He's not talking about actual wolves. He's talking about doctrinal wolves. He says there in verse number 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Being in the ministry now for almost 20 years, I have seen this happen. I have seen men who got good training from good men of God and went out and got all mixed up and got infatuated with some cockeyed doctrine. And now they draw away disciples after themselves. They don't speak according to the Word of God anymore. And so Paul's message was one of watchfulness. It was one of warning. He says there in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Part of the pastor's job is to warn. To say, if you go this way, there will be consequences. Amen. It was a message of watchfulness and warning. But at the end, it was a message of weeping, wasn't it? What does it say in verse 37? And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that he should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. But look at verse 32, and just for a few moments, I got about 10, 15 minutes here. It says, he says something here in his parting message. Yes, he warns, and yes, it's watch, and yes, there's weeping. But he says in verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. You know, I just, sidebar, there's nothing that blesses my heart more than when you folks say, Pastor, we pray for you. Because you know what you're doing? You're commending me to God. You're saying, God, please take care of our preacher. God, please give him wisdom. Please, as he manages the affairs of the church, please help him. Please direct him. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You know, many build their lives. We're talking about building your life. Many build their lives on how much money they make. They want a bigger house. They want nicer cars. They want a boat. They want the vacation home. Many build their lives on money. Can I say this? Many build their lives on a job. And I will say this. Listen, we all need money to live. And God certainly does give us jobs. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But when we build our lives on a job, I think of my own dad, and I think about how at 17 years old, he started working at a little machine shop, and he worked there for 35 years, and then at 52 years old, the company was sold, and he was out of that job. He didn't have that job anymore after 35 years. And the truth is, listen, he paid a mortgage on that job, raised his family on that job, but if he built his life around that job, his life ended when he was 52. We don't build our lives around jobs. We don't build our lives around money. We certainly don't build our lives around possessions. You know, I've lived in several homes in my life. I'm so blessed, and you hear me talk about it all the time here. I'm so blessed that my wife and I have a home, but our home is where we are. That's where listen, I had a home at 12 Smith Avenue. I had a home at 8 Linda Drive. I had a home at 90 Edgeland Street. I had a home at on 12 Main Street in Munson, Massachusetts, 1440 Litchfield Turnpike. All these places were my homes. But listen, I didn't build my life around that home. I didn't build my life on that home. You know, here's one, ladies and gentlemen, and please don't misinterpret. Some people build their lives on other people. You know, I've learned that other people can disappoint you. Listen to me. I'm not being morbid. I've learned that other people pass away and life goes on. Amen? Some people build their... Listen to me. And again, please, I'm not cutting my own throat here, but some people build their lives on their pastor. I'm thankful we have some senior saints here, forgive me, that have been through a pastor or two. Amen, Brother Kelly? Been through a few good men of God. Thank the Lord. Amen. But listen, good men of God pass off the scene. Forgive me, good men of God go bad. And you cannot build your life on these things. All these things help you. All these things can help you to build your life. But listen, Paul here is instructing and encouraging the Ephesian pastors that he's commended them to God. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to build our lives that are going to be pleasing to God and that are going to stand the test of the judgment seat of Christ, we are going to have to build them upon eternal and unchanging things. Three things tonight, all in the text. Imagine that, amen. First of all, number one, we are to build our lives on the unchanging God. The unchanging God. What does it say there? He said, I commend you to your job. No. Does it say that? Verse 32. I commend you to possessions. No. I commend you to your loved ones. No. He said, I commend you to God. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. What else did he say? In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just reading in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus said, we had our family devotions on Monday night, and Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, He that was and is to come. Listen, build your life upon the unchanging God. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Paul was the pastor's pastor. And can you imagine having Paul as your pastor? Before you say amen, Paul, forgive me, Paul rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But he was the pastor's pastor. He's the premier preacher. He wrote 14 books of the New Testament. But I'm going to tell you something. If you said, Miss Robin, I'm going to build my life on Paul, he would have said, phooey on that. Build your life on Christ. Didn't he tell the Corinthians? He says, you know what? You know what you are? In all this respecters of persons stuff, all this I'm of Apollos and I'm of Cephas and I'm of Paul. You know what Paul said? He said, you're carnal. Build your life on Christ. Later in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, God never changes. Amen. He, as the compass points north, is totally unchanging, and He is the one we can and should build our lives upon. Number two, build your life upon the unchanging God. Number two, he says there, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Not only the unchanging God, but the unchanging word of God. Again, I sound like a broken record, Brother Case. I hear myself saying this from this pulpit all the time. But ladies and gentlemen, build your life on this book. Build your life. If there's one epitaph of my ministry that hopefully goes on and on until the Lord comes, if there's one epitaph I could have, it would say, you know what? He told us to live by the book. Yeah. Live by this book. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Then Matthew 24:35, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You can trust this book. You can depend on this book, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself said, a wise man built his house upon the rock, and that wise man was the one who heard the word of God and did it. What did he say? He said, you want to be a wise man? Do what this book says. You want to be a good husband? Do what this book says. You want to be a good wife? Do what this book says. You want to be a good Christian? Do what this book says. Read it. Amen. I hope you're on a Bible reading plan already. I'm trying to get aggressive this year, Brother Jim. I'm trying to read through in 4 months. 10 chapters a day. Not easy, amen? Especially today. You know how many I read today? None of your business, amen? But the day ain't over yet, amen? Hallelujah. Read it. Study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Memorize it, learn it, love it, and most of all, do it. Do it. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Hey, I've been guilty of some self-deception in my life. I knew what the Bible said, and I didn't do it. I don't want to live my entire life that way. Yeah, a slip here and there, sure. Well, boy, I want to be someone who said, you know what, he did what the Bible, and not only preached about it, but he did what the Bible said. The unchanging God, the unchanging Word of God. Build your life on it. And then, lastly, Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. The unchanging grace of God. The unchanging grace of God. I love the doctrine of the grace of God. You say, what is the grace of God, Pastor? It is the unmerited favor of God upon undeserving sinners. Unmerited favor. I like the acrostic, if you've ever seen it, grace, where you take a word and you put it down. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. And that is simply this. Let me say a few things about grace in your life. God's unchanging grace. Can I say this? It's unconditional. You didn't do anything. Listen to me. You didn't do anything to earn God's grace. And it tells us that even in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, it says, if it be by grace, it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And if it be of works, it is no more grace. Otherwise, works of no more works. It says it can't be a mix of works and grace. It's either all God's grace or all your works. And I'm happy to report to you it's all God's grace. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? We're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. All we had to do was believe it. That's all we had to do. You say, well, isn't there more? No. No. Is there more after that? Yes. But is there more? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gives us His grace. He saves us by grace. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? The Bible says grace teaches. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, godly, and righteously in this present world. Thank God for the grace of God that teaches us. Grace teaches. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there are things that we don't. Listen, you don't have to pray about certain things, whether they're right or wrong. The grace of God will teach you whether it is or isn't. It's just a matter of obeying it. Yeah. Well, when I got saved, Brother Case, it was no mystery to me about alcohol. No mystery. The social drinking crowd, the crowd that has to study the Scripture so much, they read something that God didn't say. You know what? They just need a good old dose of the grace of God. Amen. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Amen? By the way, I'm not saying we always do. I'm saying that the grace of God teaches us that. Amen? And it does. The grace of God teaches us. The grace of God saves us. Amen? The grace of God is unconditional. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, the grace of God is sufficient. It's just enough for when you need it. Paul had the thorn in the flesh, and he said, please take it away, God. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. 2 Timothy 12:9. You know what I love? The grace, God's grace is available. God's grace is available. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, when we need it, it's available. You know what else I love? I love the fact that it's abundant. 1 Timothy 1:14 talks about that abundant grace. But then it says it in James chapter 4, verse number 6. It says, but he giveth more grace. Whew. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to build our lives upon the unchanging God. Amen. The unchanging Word of God. The unchanging grace of God. Build your life. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can build our lives on things that are unchanging. Lord, I pray that you please, Lord, help each one in the room. Lord, I think about this wicked world that we live in. And oh, how we need to draw our strength from you, how we need to snuggle up close to you, how we need to depend on you, upon your word and upon your grace. Lord, I pray that you bless now in our invitation time. Would you please work on somebody's heart tonight as only you can? I pray that you'd be with that one, perhaps that's wrestling right now. I pray that you would please work. Perhaps there are those that, Lord, need to make some resolutions this year. I pray for them. Pray that you'd work as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mr.